I give you the money. When you are done with your campaign, you come every day to the evangelistic revival in the church. And say, oh, well, I need the money, huh? So let's make the business. So I know all the people, most of the people in the church, because my mom has been very active in the church. So I won the election. That was Friday. And next Sunday was Palm Sunday. I started going to the evangelistic revival every day. And nothing happened until Good Friday, 1987. I was in the second row in this side, the church, and the pastor was preaching about the blood of Jesus cleans you from all your sins. And that night changed my life totally. I gave my life to the Lord, and it was incredible. I read the whole New Testament between Saturday and Sunday, and I bought a box of New Testaments for my new council, you know, and Monday was my first meeting, and I preached for 2 hours to them. I don't know what I told them, but I told them about what the Lord did in my heart. And I started feeling the call to the ministry. And so during that time, also my younger brother was detected with cancer. And say, Lord, well, you are calling me to ministry, and please healing him. So they give him chemotherapy for 3 cycles. And he is now the associate pastor of the Mustard Seed Church in Loja. So our Lord has been very faithful. In 1992, I came to South Texas, Rio Grande Bible Institute, to get my Bible education. In 93, I took a trip to Spain, short-term missions trip for 2 months, and that team was who is now my wife. So she's Mexican, was raised in Texas, and, you know, has been a great experience, the best thing in my life after the Lord, you know, to know her. And in 96, we moved to McMinnville to work as the Spanish-speaking ministry in a large English-speaking church, a conservative Baptist church. So in year 2000, our church in McMinnville said, let's do a short-term mission trip to some place. So I offered to Loja, you know, say, no, Loja, let's go to Loja. So we went to Loja, like 12 people from the church, and the Lord started calling. And my heart said, you need to go back to Loja, because we have 500,000 people and less than 0.1% of believers. So, sir, I started dealing with the Lord, you know, fighting for almost a year. Said, Lord, I am serving you here. Everybody wants to come up here, you know. I have a ministry here. But so we talked with the Conservative Baptist International at that time. Now it's a World Venture. And they were willing to open a field. So we arrived in 2003, and we started a church planting in 2004 in Loja. So I want to show you a video about what happened after 2004 when we started the Mustard Seed Church.
We have
We're trying to summarize in that video some of the 4 years in the field, and has been great experience down there. It's a privilege to work with Titus and Stephanie. We are in the same mission agency, and we have a lot of meetings, decisions as a team, so it's encouraging to have them down there. And also pray for them because they are in Guayaquil, and they are doing a very overwhelming ministry in Guayaquil with the very needy people. So, and also it's a little dangerous in the areas where they are visiting every day. So pray for that. And that is a special request for them. I want to read about in the Bible, about the book of Acts, chapter 9. I start in verses 10. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on a straight street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, because he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. I want to give you a small update because 2 years ago, our World Venture was officially recognized by the government of Ecuador, but we call over there Mustard Seed Ministries. And we start thinking, well, we have a church already, people are coming, and we have four other places in the province working. Say, Lord, please provide us a place. You know, that is a need. You experience here, have a place to worship, and also to give a testimony to the community. So we start this process. And 2 years ago, the government gave us the legal approval, and we start thinking, well, let's try to buy a property and to build. So that is when our faith, state faith come to do the ministry. And also because in Loja, we used to have a good mayor in the city. We recycle the garbage in Loja. It's a clean city. And we pay parking spaces in the downtown. It's very clean. So when the politicians want to put, publicity, they cannot do like in Mexico or something, or other parts of Ecuador too. So they have to special place. So it's a nice city. You know, he did great job. Yeah, but he had a problem against evangelicals. He was very hostile. When the First Baptist tried to build, he made all the kind of problems, saying he allowed a small building, something is they didn't plan to do it. When the Assembly of God tried to build, he didn't approve where they bought the property, so they had to move almost outside of the city at that time, like 15 years ago. But it's 3 years ago, he lost the elections, and a new mayor came, a former teacher from the university. And before we saw we bought the property, I went to talk with him and say, if we buy this property, are you going to approve evangelical church be building in this place? And he told me, anything I will approve against the Catholic Church. So I said, well, here's somebody. So I say, well, but you know, he's going to finish this October and November, his time for being a mayor. So now we have two other things, not just buy the property, but have the plans be approved, and also trying to put some concrete or building. So when because I believe the former mayor is going to be reelected, because everybody started missing, he did good things. So everybody started missing that mayor. So say, let's do it before that mayor. So this January in 18, we received the building permits, and we start building some of the things. So we're going to show you some pictures over there. Can you go to the next one? That's our building. We need $200,000 for finish that building. And it's 1,200 square meters, so maybe 12,000 square feet. Next one, please. That's the day when we start building. That nice house and that size is the head of the water system in Loja. And he also was a former classmate in the university. And this day he approached to me and said, Hey, Leo, what are you going to do here? say, you know what we are going to build? It's a church. Say, you are going to make me to pray more. Say, yeah, that's the purpose. And he said, everything you need, I am here for. So that was a very good affirmation of the Lord. And you know, later when we start building, because we go wall to wall in the building, his fenced wall came down. So we had to rebuild it. So next one, please. Another one. So you see, that's his fence. You're going to see later. The wall is not anymore there. Next one. So that is the neighbor's foundation down there. And we are just over there. So because we have to take advantage of every little space. And we don't have a parking space. The city doesn't require, because most of people, they have to go by public transportation. Next one, please. And there is no wall there. So, but we have to rebuild it. Next one. Another one, please. So you can see it's in the hill, so it's going to be a nice view when it's done. Next one. Another one, please. That is the box for the elevator, because the city asking us to put an elevator for the four floors. Next one. Another one. That's the brand new wall you saw over there. Another one, please. And that is where we are now. Next one. That is how the building is. So pray for that, because the Lord has been, we are praying that by October we restart the building process. And the church over there is doing great, making the effort to raise the money. And also some churches here in the States. Next one. So that is how the building is. Another one, please. And the next one. So I want to share this, because we read about persecution and how the Apostle Paul, before he knew the Lord, he started persecuting the church. This is Gonzanama. I was seeing a DVD over there with Micah and Joanna did a basketball camp over there. But it's a hard town. For some reason, I think you really need to pray for this town. Like 3 years ago, this family, this boy was 12 years at that age. He has to go to the public school. And the priest is coming every month to give a mass, the Catholic priest. But the boy was in the first row, and he was not doing what in the Catholic Church people does, you know, the signs and everything. So the priest called him at front and said, why are you not doing these things? And he said, well, I am a Christian, evangelical Christian. And say, who's teaching you? Somebody, Leo Calvin. Say, who is that man? So he doesn't know. And he say, what your mom says? Say, she's going to the Bible study too. And what your dad says? The same thing. The priest started insulting the mom, insulting dad, insulting the grandma. So, and next month, again. So by the third month, the parents, Rodrigo and Macarena, they have a pharmacy just crossing the Catholic Church, like here to the next building. And they said, we have to do something, because in Ecuador we have freedom of religion in our constitution, so he cannot do those things. So we went to Loja, and we talked with that defendant of people. And this is a lawyer trying to make peace before to go to trial. And we talked with him and said, yeah, you are right. And we have to go to talk with the priest. So one day we drove to Gonzanama, the driver, myself, the president of Pastors of Loja, and the lawyer. And over there was the family. So we stopped the car crossing the Catholic Church and the pharmacy. And the priest came outside saying, give me 30 minutes. I'm going to receive you in 30 more minutes. So I started thinking, oh, that's good. He's going to receive in 30 more minutes. So he went inside, and he started calling by the speakers of the church and said, if you are a true Catholic, come and defend your faith against cults. Like for 20 minutes, like that. Suddenly, like 80 people show up with the stones and sticks. And I start feeling, say, Lord, this is not my time yet. I just came here. What are you going to do? So I moved the truck, my truck, a little bit. Say, I start making my plan to run away, you know. I laugh now, but at that moment I start feeling afraid. So when after the lawyer talked with him, the priest came out and threatened us and everything, and he prohibited the community to buy in their pharmacy. And what he did is he stand in the door and he looked the pharmacy and nobody can get in. So because he had a lot of control power over the people. That was for 2-3 weeks, and Rodrigo and Macarena start asking, we have to pay bills, we have to keep going, what is going to do with our business? And you know, so what are we going to do? So I was in Loja one day, and 3 weeks after that thing, I said, I'm going to talk with the bishop. You know? So I went to the bishop's office, and here is a man from Italy. And he said, come on, my son, take a seat. He said, what is bringing you here? Say, well, you know, I am an evangelical pastor. He looked at me and said, I feel sorry for you. And he changed totally. So I told him, we have a problem with your priest. And he said, the priest is doing the right thing. The only thing to keep unity in those towns is to chasten you out. Because you are a cult. You are coming to make divisions. So I talked with him about the Vatican II, you know, they call us the separate brotherhood. Say, that's not right. So I told him, you know, the Pope, John Paul at that time, is praying with Muslims and with Buddhists and things, and you are treating us as a cult. That's not right. Say, no, you don't understand ecumenism and things like that. And he said, you are financing by the CIA. I was sharing in other churches. Say, yeah, that's true. The church in America. But you know, he was. After that, I told him, say, well, but the Constitution said Ecuador we have freedom of religion, and he told me, I don't care what the Constitution said. We are going to chasten you out in all our towns. And this Operation Hope. You see, maybe Mike has shared with you about Operation Hope is the name of the mission agencies we gather. He say, that is nothing. And he was angry, totally angry. But after 20 minutes, he say, okay, let's change the subject. I'm going to take care of this business. And he used to have a priest almost my age to his side. And so I say, choose some topics. So I choose 3 topics. I'm going to share the last 2 ones. I told him, what about celibacy? I told him, have you read 1 Timothy 3? And the Bible says, who wants to serve in the church has to be married. And he said, yeah. Celibacy is not in the church, in the Bible. It's in the tradition of the church. So we talked for 20 minutes. And after that, give me another subject. So I told him, salvation is by grace, not by works. And he looked at me and said, have you read James? You know? I told him, yeah, James is about our lifestyle, not about our salvation. And he had a big crucifixion of Jesus behind his desk and the wall. And I appointed, say, Mr. Bishop, are you telling me what my Lord did on the cross is not enough to save me, that I had to do good works? And he looked at me very angry. And he said, I want you to leave. Because you are corrupting my youngest priest here. I offered my hand to say goodbye. Say, no, just get out. You know? Say, I make a mistake. When I went out, I started thinking, I made a mistake here. Why I came to talk with him? But you know? 4 days later, he promoted the priest from Gonzanama to a big Catholic church in Loja. And the people start buying in the pharmacy again. So that was a very, how the Lord works, you know. And this new priest who is now there is more subtle, but also is against us. The other day with SIM, with the SIM, we were giving out the Gospel of John, and he was calling the people, say, bring me those green books with the Gospel of John, and he started burning out. So he is a... And our group, was like a 20 people. Now we have like a 8 people. So it's becoming harder. The people are resistant to the gospel too much in this place. But I was thinking about here, because when the apostle, before he was an apostle, started persecuting the church, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he appeared to Saul of Tarsus, he said, "Why are you persecuting me?" Our Lord Jesus Christ was taking very personal the persecution over his church. He never said, "Why are you persecuting the believers?" He never said, "Why are you persecuting the church in Jerusalem?" The Lord says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And that's a very encouraging passage for myself, other people who are experiencing persecution, because our Lord's in our side. Amen? And we really could rest on that, like a promise. He taking very personal. But when I want to focus on Ananias. And Ananias, the Bible here says, was a disciple of Christ. Doesn't say too much about he was, what he was, you know. Just saying he was a disciple of Christ. And doesn't mention too much in the New Testament about him. But just that is the description for him. And he had a vision. The Lord talked to him, say, "Ananias, go to this especially direction, you know, this street and house and everything, and pray for Saul of Tarsus." And Ananias has a very human response. He said, "Lord, do you know who is this man? He's persecuting our friends, our believers." And maybe I start thinking, Ananias is thinking, maybe I am in the list. He's coming before, after us. And you know, he started arguing a little bit with the Lord, but the Lord said, "Go." And Ananias went. But at the same time, the Bible told us, Saul of Tarsus was praying. You know? And Ananias went and prayed for the Saul, and he recovered the sight. Ananias was the answer of prayer of Saul of Tarsus, who became later the Apostle Paul. And I start thinking, in the same way, many times God wants to use us as the answer of prayer for somebody else. I start thinking, if Ananias only knew who this man is going to be in the future, he may be changed totally his disposition to go to pray for him. Last October, in Loja, my mom had a bakery in the downtown. You should go to the bakery when you go there to eat a coffee with tamal. And it was a Thursday. I remember it was Thursday. And it was a busy day in the ministry, visiting people, counseling, you know, working in the church, planning, things like that. And it was 7 o'clock in the evening. And I told Lulu, my wife, said, "Let's go to have a cafe con tamal, a coffee with tamal." Yeah, like, I deserve the coffee with tamal, you know, after a hard day of working. But before to get into the bakery, a man like a 25 years old called me, "Hey, sir." So I say, "Yes." "I want to ask you a favor." I say, "Yes." Say, "I am from Quito, and I don't have any money for my ticket to go to Quito. Can you help me with the ticket?" It's around $18, the bus ticket. So say, "Oh yeah, but we have a policy for Lulu and me, say never give cash. Let's go to buy the ticket." So I call, I'm going to call my associate pastor, my brother. So I call James, say, "James, can you go to the bus station and buy the ticket?" And he said, "You know, I'm not able now. I am busy doing these things." And so I said, "I'm going to call the deacon." You know, I called the first deacon, "Rodrigo, what are you doing?" He said, "Can you go to the bus station?" He said, "Pastor, I am busy now." Okay. I called the second deacon, and he was also busy. I started thinking, nobody wants to work in the church anymore. So I love my wife, and she gave me the okay to go with him. So I went to the bus station, and I bought a ticket, and I say, well, I am here while we're waiting for the trip, like 40 minutes, I'm going to eat with him and share the gospel and why I did this thing. So I bought a meal, we sit down, and before everything I told him, you know, I am a Christian. And he looked at me and he started crying. I said, I haven't shared the gospel yet. He's crying already. Hey, what I have done, you know? And he said, you know, I am a Christian too. And I have been praying for 24 hours that the Lord provides for my ticket from Loja to Quito. And also to have a good meal before the trip. And I stay like in shock. You know, I didn't know what to do. And I start thinking, I almost missed the blessing to be the answer of prayer of this young man. Because, you know, I deserve my coffee with my tamal. I have done my good duties for the Lord today. I also serving, and even when you are full-time in the ministry, you are all the time doing things for the Lord, you know? But God wants me to be the blessing to this man. The same way as Ananias was the answer of the prayer of the Apostle Paul. Maybe the Lord is going to put you some people in your way that he wants you to be the answer of prayer of somebody else. I almost miss the blessing to be that person. So maybe you came here to hear an exegetical sermon this morning, but it's not. Please pray for us in Ecuador that the Lord keep us safe, protecting us, preaching the gospel, you know, that people coming to know him, and many, many more will rejoicing going to heaven. The Lord bless you. Thank you.